something's about to break in this house here today. Somebody who hadn't broken a long time is about to break. But it's not a forced breaking. It's not being forced on you. It's going to rise up from within you. It won't be put on you by the pulpit. It won't be the prerogative of the one sitting beside you. It's going to rise up from deep inside your heart. Out of your belly shall flow a river that's unstoppable. Well, I want to preach a little bit because I feel like I have something that will help somebody. I want to say what a treat it is, to be here with Brother Tom Trimble. Every time I am exposed to the anointing that God has put on this man, every time, it's almost as if, and I say this not to make him feel good, because he and I are pals, and he and I will dig at each other and play, and we're just great friends, and I'm honored to be his friend. But every time I'm exposed to the anointing that God has on him, it's a higher level than just friendship. And I love that, Brother Tripp. I love that anointing. I'm serious. Let that anointing go, because it takes me into the heavenlies. And if I have a highway to the heavenlies, boy, look out, folks. I'm going to ride that highway every chance I get. I said every chance I get, I'm going to ride that highway. Glory. Glory to God. I'm inviting your attention to Proverbs, the 24th chapter. I will endeavor to not preach longer than 30 minutes today. So thank you for your attention. If you would lend me your minds as we go forth, I know a tremendous amount of preaching has already occurred, and I enjoyed all of it. Let me throw my little two bits in there. Proverbs 24, the 16th verse says this. I would welcome us all to read it out loud together. So if you're ready, say amen. Shall we read together aloud? For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. There's two men described in this text. There's just men, and that word for just in the original is also translated righteous. There's just men or righteous men described, and there are wicked men described. There's something very intriguing that happens to both of them, though. They both are likened to falling. Just men fall, wicked men fall. But there's one little note that refers to the just man. He riseth up again. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them the title of my message. Turn to them and tell them, tell hell, I'm getting back up. Come on, turn to your next neighbor, the one on the other side. Tell him, tell hell, for me, I'm getting back up. Tell hell, come on, are you backsliders here this morning? Turn to your neighbor. Come on, say it. Tell hell, I'm getting back up. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I have given my entire ministry to two causes. The first cause that I have given my ministry to is to the cause of getting people to get all that God has for them. There is no blessing like God's blessing. And He has a way for you that would absolutely astonish you if you'll learn to trust Him. If you'll learn to depend upon Him. Guys, He has a wife for you that would blow your mind to the point where you don't feel like you're worthy of her. But you got to learn to trust in Him. Girls, the Lord has a husband for you that's strong and handsome, hardworking, dependable, help with the babies. But if you try to manipulate God, if you try to manipulate the romance process, if you try to figure out that maybe I can dabble in carnality and still get what I want because I'm smart enough to figure it out, it's not God's best for you. I said sometimes you're going to be lonely and feel like maybe there isn't anyone for me out there. But I can guarantee you from experience, somewhere out there, under the starry sky, my God has a soulmate for you. I'm preaching from experience. Boy, I wish my wife was here. By the way, let me tell you something. I am not worthy for my wife. She is a fine woman. She is bad to the bone. She is beautiful. She is fine. She's smart. She's funny. I'm not worthy of that woman. She gave me four of the most wonderful, beautiful, smart kids ever born on the face of the earth. I could get wound up talking about my mama. I'm not talking about the one who birthed me. I'm talking about the one who gave me four babies. My wife is fine, and she can sing and play on top of that and just anointed. She's a powerful prayer warrior. Her closet resounds with the sound of prayer. I'm just going to brag on her a little bit because God gave her to me. And I'm going to brag on her because there were days I didn't know if I was worthy. But I trusted God. And in the district where I was, there was about two girls that I could date. I'm not saying that was all the girls that what there was to date. I'm referring to my particular tastes. You understand? There was only about two of them. And after a little bit of inspection, checking them out, they didn't necessarily figure out to be my long-term running mate. I needed a vice president for my presidency. But I made it a matter of prayer because my mother and father, and I'm getting way off track. How am I going to preach a 30-minute message doing this? She's coming out with an album in just a couple of weeks. So whenever you see an album by Melanie Elms, you need to check that baby out. Anyway, I need to get back to the Word of God. But I have given my ministry to trying to get people to get their first blessing. God has a first blessing for you. He's got a choice blessing for you. That if you'll walk upright and you'll trust Him and you'll believe in Him and you'll follow Him, He's got a blessing for you that would blow your ever-loving mind. He wants to make some of you multimillionaires, but you're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to tithe on every penny you ever earn. Don't talk about somebody who's getting really blessed in your church. You may not know that they tithe every penny. And if you've tithed every penny you've ever made, just go ahead and count on blessings coming. Just go ahead and mark it down because my God said, prove me. Some of us believe that prove me part when it's given time, but we don't believe that prove me part when it's time that the blessings start rolling in. But God said, prove me now herewith and see that I won't pour you out blessing. Don't look at those that are starting to get rich in your church and say, wow, they got lucky. No, maybe they got worky. Maybe they got trusty. Maybe they got faithfully. Maybe they believed God and they proved God and maybe He just decided to pour it on them. I'm getting off track again. But I want to tell you, He's got a first blessing. But I've also given my ministry to a second dimension. And that is those that have fallen. And they have failed God. And they have failed their friends. And they have failed themselves. I give the second part of my ministry to telling people who will never get the first blessing that the second blessing is better than any blessing the world could ever give you. When I was younger, I had the idea that I could preach a message that would fix people for the rest of their life. I had the false concept that, boy, when I became a pastor, if I could give them my conviction message that I had worked on so much, that once they heard that message, never again would they ever, ever think about falling down. I also thought that maybe if I could preach the message on Calvary as I could preach it, that man, that Calvary message that I got a hold of, it would just impact them for life. But you know what? I'm a little older now. I realize I ain't that good. I've come to realize my preaching isn't all that good. I've come to realize that maybe that thought that I thought just would blow the brains of somebody, I realize that it's not that special. I thought surely when I began to pastor, nobody would backslide from under my ministry. Man, if I could just raise up kids under my ministry and with my consecration and prayer and my passion, man, I thought that surely, man, nobody's going to backslide out of my youth group. I was wrong. You know what I've learned after several years of preaching? That the best thing a pastor can do is preach his message and then get over it. Because he's got another one coming in just a few minutes. And it's not going to be any better than the first. And there's no perfect sermon out there to fix anybody. And so you know what I figured out? I figured out the best thing to do, instead of thinking that maybe I have some ability to fix people for the rest of their life, I've decided to find something that maybe will help them for the rest of their life. And I think I found it right here in this text that we found. The truth is we make mistakes. We stumble. We fall. I would like to pretend like we don't, but we do. I'm not referring to the kind of sin that will bring a mortal wound, although there's only one that the Bible refers to in the whole Scripture. And that's the sin against the Holy Ghost. And I'm convinced that the sin of against the Holy Ghost cannot be committed in one day. Because I've watched people stand up, or I've heard of people standing up in a boat and cursing God and saying, if you're God, strike me dead right now, or otherwise get out of my face. And they live. And guess what else? They repented. And guess what else? They got the Holy Ghost. And guess what else? They started living for God. I don't think you can commit the sin against the Holy Ghost in one day. I think the sin against the Holy Ghost is a continual grieving process. When the Holy Ghost comes to you, you continually blow smoke in His face. When the Holy Ghost comes and reaches for you, you constantly say, get out of here. When the Holy Ghost comes up to reach to you again, you just stand up and say, I don't want to talk to you. Get away from me. And then the Bible says His Spirit will not always. There is a day that God will become your enemy. When the stars that wept for your repentance will soon turn against you. When the cobblestones underneath your feet that used to assist you to get to church will begin to close their eyes when you approach. When God becomes your enemy. But until that day comes, I want to proclaim to you that there is a hope that our God gives us. And if you'll just listen for the next 10 minutes, I think I can give you something that will help you the rest of your life. If you listen the first 10 minutes, then the next 2 or 3 hours will be a great encouragement unto you. I was just kidding right then. Interesting point in the Scripture. 3 times in the Bible it refers to Abraham as the friend of God. I would like to be his friend, wouldn't you? Would anybody like for others to look at you and say, guess what? He's the friend of God. I mean, what an epitaph to put on your funeral stone, your burial stone. What a biography to put on your life. Look at that man. That man walking there to get that gas, he's the friend of God. I would love for that to be said of me. Of all the things that could be said of me, let it be said that I am the friend of God. And yet 3 times, 2 Chronicles 27, it says, Abraham, thy friend forever. Isaiah 41, 8, it says, Abraham, my friend. God said it. James 2:23, it says, Abraham, called a friend of God. I want to contend before you today that there is no visible reason why Abraham should be called the friend of God. I don't see any real reason necessarily in an official capacity why Abraham should have the right to that friend of God. Paul maybe, because Paul did many great things, wrote many great books. He did some awesome things. Abraham wasn't known for his authorship. I don't know of a book Abraham wrote for God. Abraham was no unbelievable. Moses maybe could be called the friend of God because he was the man by which God spoke on the top of Mount Sinai. Maybe Moses ought to have that, but Abraham, why in the world was Abraham called the friend of God? It's something that's hard for me to understand. Three men about 1,000 years apart wrote the same thing about Abraham. 2 Chronicles, then 300 years later, Isaiah said it, Abraham the friend of God. Then 800 years later, James wrote it, Abraham the friend of God. All of them saying Abraham, when we think of him, he is the friend of God. Why? In the name of common sense, would somebody please tell me, what did Abraham ever do to deserve the title, the friend of God? Think as hard as you can today. Think as hard as you can. What did he do? Those of you that know your Bible, rethink the life of Abraham. Start at Genesis 11 until Abraham's death 10 chapters later. Tell me one great thing that Abraham did in his. Not only did Abraham not do anything that we count, men count, as greatness, but he probably fell as much as any man fell of renown in the Bible, and it's recorded about him. He was never a king like David. He was never started churches like Paul. He never was a great preacher like John the Baptist. He never saved a nation like Gideon did. He didn't perform 7 miracles like Elijah. He didn't even perform 14 like Elisha. He didn't build an ark like Noah. He wasn't a great missionary like Thomas. He led no nation from bondage like Moses did. He didn't preach a great revival like Jonah did. And the Bible even goes so far as to tell us 7 times in which Abraham failed God. He wasn't supposed to take his kindred with him as he left the people, the land of his people. And yet we read of him taking his nephew and his father. God told him to go to Bethel, and he didn't go all the way to Bethel. He was told to go to Canaan and not leave it, but he left Canaan to go back to Egypt. In Egypt, he lied on his wife. At the 5th failure, he had a son outside of promise. He had relations with a minor and had a boy named Ishmael. He failed God at Gerar. He lived on the border of the will of God instead of in the heart of the will of God. He had 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And he lied again about his wife to Abimelech. Why in the world was this man called the friend of God? I want to tell you my conclusion. The reason why Abraham was called the friend of God is this. Because he had an attitude. Tell hell, I'm getting back up. I may fall, but I refuse to stay in a fallen condition. I may stumble, but that's not who I am. I may doubt, but that's not what I am. I may lie, but that's not who I am. Tell hell, I'm getting back. He marshaled no great army. He started no great sermon or a church. He preached no great revival. He performed no great miracles. He had no great missionary journey. But the righteous man, the Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times. I said a just man. Maybe you don't want to realize that just men fall. Maybe you want to pretend like just men don't fall. Maybe you want to preach a sermon that's not in the Bible that just men don't fall. But the scripture in the Bible says a just man falleth. It's not that he might fall, not that he can fall, not that someday maybe he'll stumble and fall. It says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Sometimes Abraham, when you study his life, he stumbled and fell because of an unanticipated challenge. Sometimes Abraham fell because someone else came and knocked him down. But there were days in Abraham's life when he chose to fall. But it doesn't matter how you fall. It doesn't matter if you choose to fall. It doesn't matter if you stumble because of an unanticipated event and you fall. Nor does it matter if someone else came and knocked you over and get you to fall. The bottom line of it all is that he got back up. Listen to me. There's not a person in this room who has not fallen. Now, if you listened to me last night, I'm not endorsing sin. If you know anything about me, I am not going to give you a free card that you can get out of jail free. You have one sin a day. What a bunch of hogwash. If you think I'm preaching that, I rebuke you. If you think I'm preaching about some kind of greasy grace that's there for anybody who wants to keep sin in one hand and keep God in another, you're crazy. If you think I'm standing up here and saying you can plan on two sins this week and that it'll be all right, you're nuts. But I have come to proclaim that I've lived long enough to know that even the best man can fall sometimes. And the best woman can fall sometimes. But I've got something to say about just people. A just man falleth 7 times, but he riseth. He riseth. He riseth. He riseth. He has an attitude. Tell hell, I'm getting back up. I will not stay here. You know what being just means? How many wants to be just here today? You know what being just means? Being just means you have a get up forever, fall down. Fall down, get up. Fall down, get up. Fall down, get up. 7 isn't the number that you just fall 7 times. The Bible gives us the understanding that 7 is the number of perfection. That no matter how many times you fall, that as long as you got to get up for every fall down, heaven looks down at you and says, that's a just man. As long as you got an altar that you can go up from, you're a just man. As long as you got a church that you go to and say, I'm going to get up again. Fall, get up. Fall, get up. Fall, get up. As long as you got a get up for every fall down. It's not having 7 falls and 6 get ups. It's having 7 falls and 7 get up. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. So you failed a course in college. So what you failed? Get up, take it again. So your husband left you. So what? Get up and live again. So you were mistreated and became bitter. So what? Get up and be sweet again. So you had a bad attitude towards your youth leader. So what? Get up, correct yourself, and get a good attitude. So you doubted God would give you back for giving to Him? So what? Get up and start giving again. So you used to read your Bible and you don't anymore? So what? Get up and open that Bible and read again. So you used to pray 15 minutes a day and you don't anymore? So what? Get up and pray again. So you used to fast every week and you don't anymore? Who cares? Get up and start fasting again. A just man falleth. That's what made God say about Abraham, that is my friend. Sometimes we stumble. Get up. Sometimes others talk about you and knock you down. Get up. Sometimes you choose to sin. Get up. And choose to be right again. You can be just as long as you have a get up. So you've stolen something. So what? Get up, give it back, and be honorable again. So you had financial failure. So what? Get up. Go back to work again. So you lost your chastity. So what? Get up and be pure again. God can give your virginity back to you in a spiritual realm. So you've been falsely accused? So what? Get up and prove them wrong. So you failed in raising your children? So what? Get up and help somebody else raise their children. So you've been disloyal to your pastor? So what? Get up and be loyal again. It's a secret of Abraham's life. A just man falleth 7 times and getteth back up. Let me encourage you today. You're not the only one who ever failed. You're not the only one who ever made a mistake. You're not the only one who quit. I like the man who won't stay down. Let me cast my lot with the woman who won't stay down. Put me with the youth group of those who won't stay down. They're going to fall, but I'll come to tell you, get up, get up, get up. Tell hell, I'm getting back up. Tell hell, I'm getting back up.
John Mark, you can't be the missionary you could have been if you hadn't turned back from helping Paul the apostle. If you hadn't quit because you were a mama's boy from going out on that missionary trip. But don't go away, John Mark. You can still be a great helper to the Apostle Paul. You can get your name on one of the books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't give up, John Mark, just because you weren't man enough to make it on the first missionary journey. God will help you, and you can still do a great work. Don't go away, David. You can't be the greatest king that you once could have been. The throne has been tainted, David. The crown has been contaminated, David. The scepter has been soiled, David. You can't be the king that you could have been, David. But there had there been no Bathsheba, Uriah. But don't go away, David. There's some psalms you can still write. You can still write Psalm 51. You can still write Psalm 147, 148, 149, 150. You can still be great. Don't stay down, Naomi. You can't be what you could have been if you'd not left Bethlehem, Judah. You can't get your babies back again, Naomi. You can't win you get your husband back again. But don't go away, Naomi, just because you left the will of God for Moab, for something on the other side, and you had 10 miserable years there. Don't stay down, Naomi, because you can still be used of God. You can still come back and say, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for I went away full, but I've come back empty. But I've come to say, don't go away, Naomi. You can still be used of God to bring a little Moabite girl to meet her heavenly Boaz, and you can give the Messiahship forth. Don't stay down, Jacob. We can't relive the 20 years away from the will of God that you had. You can still be a prince with God, though, Jacob. Don't stay away, Jacob, just because you were a deceiver and a supplanter. Don't stay away. You can still kneel at Jabbok and have your sins forgiven. You can still wrestle at Bethel and have your name changed to be called Israel, a prince with God. Just because you lied doesn't mean you have a right to stay down. Jonah, don't go away, friend. You can't be what you could have been. But hey, you in the belly of the whale, don't stay there. You can still pray in those acids of that tummy. And that whale can still spit you out, Jonah. And you can still go with seaweed wrapped around your head and preach to a nation and tell them God wants to save you. Don't stay down, Barnabas. You blew it when you left the Apostle Paul and refused to go on the second missionary journey because you were defending your nephew John Mark and you were trying to hold a little attitude against it all. But if you get back up, Barnabas, you can still be a mighty man of God and you can still be one of the great pastors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stay down, Rahab. You've wasted your years by selling your body. You can't be what you could have been. But you know what you can do, Rahab? You can still protect God's spies. You can still have such faith as to put a scarlet that rope in your window and make heroes Hall of Fame. Go ahead, Rahab. Don't stay down. Don't stay down, Bathsheba, just because you were part of the seduction of David and you will forever be stained and tainted. But you can still be a great mother, and out of your womb can come a boy named Solomon, of whom Jesus would say, there will never be one like him again, for his wisdom shall be renowned. Don't stay down, Mary Magdalene. You lost your innocence many bedrooms back. Mary, you had sold yourself so many times, but don't stay down there, Mary Magdalene. Get up. You can wash the feet of Jesus. You can use your hair to wipe that oil off of his feet, and you can still be the one to whom he shows himself first to at a tomb, Mary. You may have been a harlot, but get up, girl. You don't stay down. I said, don't stay down. The friends of God, get back up. So you lied. So did Abraham. So you lost your temper. So did Moses. So you left the will of God. So did Isaac. So you committed immorality, so did David. So you murdered somebody, so did Paul. So you cursed and swore after you got in the church, so did the Apostle Peter. So you got proud, so did Job. So you refused to preach when God called you, So did Jonah. So you criticize God's preacher. So did Miriam. So you had a fight with somebody in the church. So did Paul and Barnabas. So you were selfish. So was James and John. So you doubted God. So did Thomas. So you got drunk. So did Noah. So you fell as a woman. So did Rahab. So you quit from discouragement. So did Jeremiah. So you cheated somebody. So did Jacob. You were rebellious. So was Aaron. You lost faith in God's man. So did Barnabas. You laughed at God. So did Sarah. You forsook Jesus when he needed you the most. So did the disciples. Hey, everybody, we're in pretty good company, aren't we? I've come to tell you, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Get up. Get up. All of those of you that are perfect, don't help me preach today. All of those of you that have never sinned, don't help me preach today. All of you think that I'm licensing sin, don't help me preach today. But if you've ever needed His mercy, if you've ever needed the blood of Calvary, if you've ever needed His grace, somebody get up. I'm closing. I'm done on this Sunday morning. But let me tell you something. There's two views of people falling. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of who? He's not the accuser of sinners. He's the accuser of the brethren. You know what you've done? Every one of you have done. Every one of you have done. You've given him a reason to accuse you. I know you don't want to act like that. Some of you are having a hard time with this, I feel it. But that's all right, because you need it too. You'll really love it later on. He's the accuser of the brethren. He finds anything he can on you, and he runs up to God. Say, God, knock, knock, I'm back. I'm back. Got a four-letter word for you, God. Look. You know what? We're not a pretty sight. But what I like about God is that that's not the end of the story. Because after the devil says, look, then he tries to hightail it out. But God knows his people. He knows his friends. He grabs that devil by his pitchfork tail and says, get back here. You stay here and watch. It's muddy down here. It's filthy down here. But you know what God's friends do? And they make a decision. This ain't who I am. All you English teachers, forgive me. This ain't who I am. And that mud tries to pull them down. But God loves every minute of it. Watch them, devil. Watch them. Watch them, devil. Watch them. Watch, devil. Watch, 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 watch. where I belong. I wasn't created for that. I wasn't born for that. That's not who I am. The devil wants me to tell me that's who I am. But that's not who I am. I was born to be special. I was created to be a part of God's kingdom. I'm a part of the bride of Christ. That's who I am. The wicked fall, but they stay there. Righteous people fall, but they get back up.
If you want to pray, this altar's here. If you want to send the message, hell, I will not stay down. I may not be down now, but I've come to proclaim the friends of God, get back up. Get back up.